In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, until the ages of ages. Amen. My friends, it is with much difficulty and sadness that we are approaching this subject tonight. It is truly sad that we have to teach and to make known to Christians today that they should honor and respect our most holy, most pure, most blessed, and glorious Lady, the Theotokos and ever Virgin Mary, the jewel of all creation. It is inconceivable for someone who does not have years of prayer, full of maturity and knowledge, to even begin to discuss the most glorious person of the Theotokos. Therefore, we will simply limit this discussion to clarifying some of the not so easily understood verses in the scriptures referring to the Panagia, our Blessed Theotokos. The evil one is the great deceiver. He has deceived many of the so-called Christians today into believing that they have the utmost love for Jesus while they go on speaking disrespectfully and at times maliciously against his mother. The Catholics are partly to blame for this because they convey false teachings that are based neither on the scriptures nor on holy tradition. They are labeled as Mariolaters. In other words, they have gone too far to the point that they may be worshiping Mary. The Orthodox position has always been one of veneration and utmost honor. Saint Epiphanius notes, no one should worship Mary, only honor belongs to Mary. The Catholics, once again, ignoring holy tradition, innovated the false teaching of Immaculate Conception, claiming that the Virgin Mary was born without sin, along with other false claims. This may have prompted the Protestants to go to the other extreme, totally stripping the Virgin Mary the honor and glory that her Son gave her, and thus grieving the Spirit of God. In the Orthodox Church, we view the Blessed Virgin was the most holy, most pure, most blessed Theotokos and ever Virgin Mary, blessed among women and full of grace. About 6,000 years ago, in the Garden of Eden, the devil tried to negate God's plan by deceiving Adam and Eve. And the Lord said unto the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. But women do not have seed, only men do. So it is very obvious that God, after being disappointed by the first Eve, is now resting his spirit on the second Eve. Here, God gives the promise of his Son's incarnation by the Virgin Mary. "And I will put enmity between her seed and your seed." The seed of the woman is Christ and his church, the Orthodox Church that has maintained all the truth of the Holy Spirit. The devil was crushed when Jesus died on the cross. And even though his sting was destroyed, the enmity between him and the woman church continues. The devil, through false teachings, is always looking for victims to lead astray and away from the church. The unclean spirits that have introduced some of these false teachings in the Protestant denominations are masquerading as angels of light, as St. Paul tells us. They are fooling their poor victims, making them believe that Jesus is in their heart, with them unable to realize that the Jesus that we Orthodox know would have nothing to do with anyone who dishonors, despises, and slanders his most beloved mother. If they only knew how unhappy they make her only son when they question her ever virginity, her super holiness, and her utmost virtue. The seed of the serpent will always despise the woman. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a male child who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God when she might be taken care of for 1260 days. Revelation 12:4. My friends, let's pray that we do not get deceived because many Christs have come into the world. Once again, we will be briefly discussing the great honor and love that we Orthodox have for the Ever Virgin, her title Os Theotokos, or Mother of God, her ever virginity, and the false interpretations of the Holy Scriptures about the Theotokos by the Protestant denominations. We know how much Christ wants to glorify his saints. The glory that you have given me, I gave them. John 17:22. Those that glorify me, I will glorify. 1 Kings 2:30. Indeed, how much more glory is due to his mother? Throughout the history of God's people and God's plan, three people stand out: the Lord Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, and St. John the Forerunner. Isaiah saw the Virgin in his prophecies 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. Ezekiel will talk about her ever virginity in chapter 44:2-5. In the New Testament, Archangel Gabriel will greet her in the most magnificent manner. Hail, thou who art full of grace, not highly favored, as some recent translations may say, but full of grace. We will not see this title anywhere else. Blessed are you among women. You are the most blessed of the women on earth, because you have so pleased God by your exemplary and most virtuous life that he who created the entire universe, he who created mankind, is now in the process of choosing you to incarnate and to once again save mankind from bondage. What a shock this must have been for Nazareth's 16-year-old orphan. Mary will then visit her cousin Elizabeth, and full of the Holy Spirit, will prophesy, "Behold, from henceforth all the generations will call me blessed." All the generations up to the year 1514 have called Mary blessed. Now only the generations of Orthodox Christians call Mary blessed in the true sense. The Bible specifically tells us if we are from her seed, we must call her blessed. In other words, We must honor her and have the utmost respect for her, even though we are unworthy because our hearts are unclean. For us Orthodox, she's the Mother of God, or Theotokos, was the sixth synod dogmatized against Nestorius. If we truly believe that Christ is God, then we will have no problem calling her his mother, the Mother of God incarnate, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Her cousin Elizabeth and Elizabeth's baby in her womb, Saint John, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Luke 1:43. Elizabeth is talking about the Lord of Israel, the Lord of the Old Testament, who, by the way, is Yahweh, the God of Moses, the God of the prophets, the God of the Garden of Eden, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, before his incarnation. So, if the Holy Spirit calls the Blessed Mary the Mother of God, we must also act accordingly. The Theotokos, being full of grace and blessed among women, and having received the gift of the Holy Spirit by carrying the Christ child, would follow the path that Saint Paul and others would later follow, total devotion to the Lord, the angelic state through ever virginity. This dogma of our church was never questioned until the 4th century. All of the apostolic fathers would agree with this. Once again, 1500 years later, the Protestants, with the lack of holy tradition, and in the absence of the Holy Spirit, would slander the ever-Virgin in the worst way, by claiming that she had six other children after Jesus. And they conclude this by reading Matthew 12:46, Mark 6:3, Mark 7:3, and Acts 1:14, referring to Jesus having brothers and sisters. And this is when Scripture is interpreted by other Scripture. In Genesis 14:14, Abraham will call Lot his brother, even though he is his nephew. Jacob will be called brother of Laban, though he is also his nephew. In Genesis 27:43. In 1 Chronicle chapter 23, verses 21-22, the cousins of the daughter of Eleazar will be called their brothers. So it is quite obvious that brother in the Scriptures can also mean cousin, nephew, or close relative. To further prove that the Theotokos had no children, we will state a few key points. When the angel visited her, she was already betrothed to Joseph. Why did she act so bewildered and asked, "How can this be? How can I give birth since I know no men?" If there was any possibility of marital relations with Joseph, the Virgin Mary would not have asked that question. In the Scriptures, the so-called brothers of Jesus act much older than him and are always trying to protect him. If they were younger, the Mosaic law would not allow that kind of attitude. The angel will tell Joseph before the birth, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." Here, the Spirit of God is protecting the Panagia, because if she would be unmarried and found pregnant which shall surely be stoned by the Pharisees according to the law of Moses. After the child is born, the angel in the first chapter of Matthew will very carefully repeat to Joseph, not once, but four times, "Get up and take the child and his mother to Egypt," verses 13, 14, 20, and 21, Matthew chapter 2. If Jesus had other brothers and sisters, why they were not under the cross? And most importantly, how would he, who gave the law to Moses, now break it and have his own mother abandon her children by having John the Apostle take his mother in? How could the other six children allow John to take their mother? No, my friends, it is very obvious that there were no other children. There were only relatives, most likely children of Joseph from a previous marriage. Joseph, according to holy tradition, was over 80 years old. After the 12th year of Jesus, he is nowhere to be found in the scriptures, most likely having died. Another point is that Jude and James, who later on would write epistles, and they are, once again, the relatives of Christ, they would write epistles of the New Testament. They would start out as, for example, in Jude, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, but will not mention being the brother of the Lord," simply servants. The evangelicals at this point would bring up Matthew 1:25. The Greek says Joseph did not know her until she gave birth to her firstborn son. Of course, they will confuse you even more when they mistranslate in the New International Version and other versions, "and he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son." The devil is trying to trick us. He tried to confuse Jesus in the desert by misquoting scripture, but Jesus fought him and inactivated him by using the power of holy scriptures. A word of warning: do not discuss scriptures and try to study the Holy Bible with non-orthodox unless you yourself study the scriptures on a daily basis. You will be confused. If you are not well schooled in the holy tradition of our church and its teachings, it's best to request that you would like to invite a fellow Orthodox to these meetings, especially your priest. We must be especially careful, since all of these Bibles have been translated from the Greek by non-Orthodox translators. So once again, if Joseph had no union with her until she gave birth, that means that he did afterwards. They will argue this point with you, but they err for not understanding the scriptures. The Greek word eos, or until, can also mean never. 2 Kings 6:23. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death." If we interpret it here like the Protestants do, we must assume that she had a child after she died, right? Mark 12:36. The Lord said to my Lord, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. When the Father puts the enemies under the Son's feet, the Son will not be at the right hand of the Father? Jesus reassured his disciples, telling them, Yea, I will be with you always until the end of time. Are we to assume that after the end of times, Jesus will not be with his disciples? And finally, the teacher says to the class, Sit quietly until I come back. After the teacher comes back, is the class supposed to go wild? You see how beautifully our church can help you understand the scriptures if you are only truly and actively seeking out your salvation. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open unto you. So with the above, it should be very clear that Theotokos was a virgin before birth, during birth, and after birth, which is the truth taught by our church. Yes, even during birth, she was a virgin. Christ created the Son, and the Son can pass through glass without any trouble at all. If the creation can do this, cannot the Creator do the same and even more? In closing on the subject of ever virginity, we must state that all the apostolic fathers agreed with this teaching, with one or two exceptions, those acceptors condemned by the church. Once again, we could expand on these topics much longer, but we must limit ourselves to a few key points. And now it is necessary to discuss some of the verses in the Bible that the non-Orthodox have grossly misinterpreted. They usually bring up the first miracle of Jesus in John 2:1-15. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They have no more wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with you? By simply reading this, most Protestants have the impression that Jesus is belittling and actually humbling his own mother, calling her woman. The word gyne, or woman, in the ancient Greek was a most respectable term for the female gender. It actually means my dear lady or madam. In Matthew 15:28, Jesus will praise the faith of the Canaanite woman. O woman, great is thy faith. My dear lady, great is your faith. Under the cross, with her heart totally broken, Jesus, at the height of his sorrow, tells his sweet mother, Woman, behold your son, my dear and sweet lady, I will never leave you alone, never. My dearest and most beloved of the apostles will now care for you. So once again, his mother is concerned because this household ran out of wine. She tells her son, with whom she spent 30 years and knows his power was God. Jesus tells her, My dear mother, why should you and I get involved in this situation since my time has not come yet? And here's the Jesus we know. He speeds up his divine plan to satisfy and grant the simple request of his mother, just because his mother asked him. If we only knew how easily our prayers are heard when we ask His Mother to intercede and pray for us. Another verse that is equally abused by non-Orthodox is Luke 11:27-28. Jesus was ministering, and a woman full of admiration called out, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Again, here the non-Orthodox will tell you that Christ is being cold and somewhat standoffish to His Mother, a false accusation about our Lord, who is once again praising His Mother. It has been said by contemporary Russian theologians that if you want to understand theology, you must understand ancient Greek. Blessed is the mother that gave you birth and nursed you. He's actually saying, blessed rather are those that hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed rather is a false translation, and what is upsetting is that it may be purposely put there to defame the mother of our Lord. Let's pay close attention. The Greek word here translated as rather is menun, the same word in Romans 9:20 will be translated differently without the word rather. In Romans 10:18, the word menun will be translated of course, and in Philippians 3:8, the word menunye will take its true meaning in the King James Version. I pray to God that this great inconsistency in the translation may be coincidental. So, menun means of course, no doubt, certainly. And we now repeat the true meaning of that verse. Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. And he replied, of course, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. No one in history will obey the word of God the same way our blessed Mother of God did. The person of the Theotokos is magnified by heaven and earth. The angels were amazed at her virtue and pray aloud along with the entire church. Gabriel stood amazed at the beauty of your virginity and at the splendor of your purity, and he cried to you, O Mother of God, what praise is meet for me to bring you? What shall I call you? I hesitate and marvel. Wherefore was commended, I cry to you, hail you that are full of grace. Amen. Thank you.
Blessed art thou, Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all that he has done for thee. Who is gracious unto all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine infirmities, who redeemeth thy life from corruption, who crowneth thee with mercy and compassion, who fulfilleth thy desire with good things, how you shall be renewed as eagles. The Lord performeth deeds of mercy, and executeth judgment for all them that are wrong.